Hello and welcome to Keep On Cybertrucking, a podcast where EV enthusiasts talk about all things Cybertruck, electric vehicles, and technology. My name is Eric. We have Chase here. Will, congratulations to Will. Will is starting a new job today, so really stoked and happy for him that he found a job that's actually really, really interesting and really cool. I'm hoping that he's able to join us for a podcast episode here soon and hopefully kind of give you guys, you know, a little bit of a rundown of what he's doing now, which, like I said, is really cool and interesting.
Yeah, I'm interested.
Yeah, it's cool stuff. But today, I think one thing that we've been talking about throughout the week, Chase, and something that I think we want to kind of dive into here on the podcast is the whole controversy, so to speak, behind Mark Rober and his YouTube video that he released a few days ago. I believe the title of the YouTube video was, "Can You Fool a Self-Driving Car?" There's a lot to talk about. There's a lot to get into. I think just with the title alone, when you're talking about, "Can you fool a self-driving car?" What are you implying? You're implying a car that can drive itself, and not a car that has technology to help avoid obstacles. You're talking about a car that you can essentially lay back in and go to sleep, and it's going to drive yourself. And so, like I said, there's a lot of controversy with this video, and that is where I want to start with it, because one thing that he does in the video is he's working with a company called Luminar, right, who makes some, what is it again? What's the name of it?
LiDAR.
There you go. Sorry.
Essentially, it's a tack on LiDAR that they are wanting to sell to other company or other vehicle manufacturers, as far as I can tell, where it's like you could mount it on the top of the windshield and use it from there.
Exactly. So I had a brain fart, so I couldn't remember that. But LiDAR, yeah. So it's Luminar makes a LiDAR technology that you can attach to your vehicle, and it helps with obstacle avoidance. And something that Mark Rober did in his video is he's trying to show how good the technology is. And there's no denying it's great technology. But where I think the issues start coming up is the fact that he's unable to just show how great that technology is, he has to then take a jab at Tesla and their camera-based technology in their vehicles. And that's fine if you want to make a comparison. But when you title the video, "Can you fool a self-driving vehicle?" and you're not using self-driving technology, he's using autopilot, which is essentially slightly smarter adaptive cruise control is what I would call it. That is not self-driving technology. That is obstacle avoidance. And he's trying to trick the cameras into not seeing the obstacle. And that's fair because the LiDAR does a great job with it. But then there's a lot of holes and issues with his test that has come to light after the video went live. And, you know, the internet will always catch you. And so I want to kind of go over all of that and kind of show all the findings between all the internet detectives and kind of just break everything down. So,
especially the moment that it kind of got the most viral and really, really what started it off was doing the whole Wile E. Coyote wall. But I think the idea is that he's obviously putting it in tests that people have been arguing against Tesla for years now. They're like, oh, well, vision-based systems can only go so far because, like, what if the camera can't see through what you're looking at? Whereas LiDAR can see through things like smoke and rain and certain things. So it's obvious that LiDAR would have an upper hand on things you can't see through. But where this really becomes disingenuous in my mind is, like you said, that he was using autopilot and not the latest FSD, where FSD is kind of, even autopilot too, they kind of have the upper hand and even out that playing field by saying it's not just cameras, but it's also our AI algorithms running on top of it. Like, it's predicting what's going on. So, you know, maybe if it notices that there's heavy rain, I know this for a fact, because when I tried FSD for the first time, it was in the rain. And there was a certain situation that it got me into it on the highway. They were like, whoa, 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 I'm going to need you to take over, because it realized that it couldn't see through the heavy rain. But even then, when it noticed that there was low visibility, it did slow down like you would as, like, a normal human driver. Like, you're not just going to go, like, full speed into a bunch of, you know, heavy whiteout rain that you can't see through.
Exactly. I'm trying to queue up the, here, I'm pulling it up right now. Mm-hmm. So I want to show, just kind of get down to the nitty gritty of him. So let me set this up for anybody that hasn't seen the video. What he's doing is he's setting up a child, a mannequin, and he's, like Chase was explaining, he set up some different ways to trick the cameras. He did fog, right? So he put some heavy fog, and he tested the LiDAR, and LiDAR did wonderfully with that. It detected the child still and was able to stop and didn't hit the mannequin.
One thing there, why did they choose a child mannequin, not just a regular mannequin?
So that like was...
Up the fear factor a bit?
That was something that I know that some of these, like I said, internet detectives or people that are speaking about this, you know, that goes into the whole, if we put a child mannequin, what does that do? That kind of tugs at people's heartstrings of, oh, Teslas are dangerous and they're going to kill our children.
Mm-hmm. See, it worked for my mother-in-law. I was watching this video live with her and she's like, oh, like you had that, you know, knee-jerk reaction to it.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's what's going to happen is that you have these people that could be older, that are not up on all the technology and what's right and what's wrong. And they're just having that emotional reaction to it. And it's going to look negative on Tesla.
It goes back to what we've been talking about, I think, last week when we were talking about Jerry Rig, and how I feel like when you're that big of an influencer, YouTuber, you have such a large influence on let's be real, on how people think, because there's a lot of people that read headlines, will watch a video, and they take that as gospel.
Yeah, it's a responsibility, really.
100%. It's a responsibility. That's the best way to say it. It's a responsibility that a lot of these YouTubers and influencers, I think, fail to remember. I think they realize it, or they've realized it at a certain point, but they've gotten so big. And this is just my opinion, but they've gotten so big to where morals and ethics and that responsibility go out the window. Now it just comes down to who's paying me the most money. And I know that because, once again, I'm a very small scale YouTuber and I really try to never mislead anybody. I want to give just my honest opinions, whether you like them or not is fine, but at least I can go to sleep and sleep fine knowing I just gave you my experience and what my feelings are, and you could take that however you want, but I feel good going to sleep because I didn't mislead anybody. And, you know, I obviously don't have people knocking, banging at my door, trying to hand me millions of dollars to promote something that maybe I don't want to promote, but hey, they're signing a check. And so shoot, I'll do it. But that kind of seems to be what's happening here, right? With Jerry Rig and possibly Mark, and then, you know, who knows, maybe, you know, so many other people that are out there, you know, in the influencer world. But I wanted to cue up the video where what I was trying to explain is so he does the fog, he does water, he puts a bunch of water in the way of the mannequin. He does, what was the other one that he did? I can't remember what the other one was now.
Oh, there's a couple tests where they just the mannequin like came out from last second.
He had the mannequin come out from behind a car like at the last second. So there's a bunch of different tests. But the last test and the like big reveal test was he set up a styrofoam wall. They painted the wall to where it would be essentially the same backdrop if the wall wasn't there. So
it's like Wile E. Coyote.
Basically. Yeah, exactly. And so they're trying to trick the camera system with the Tesla and make it think that you could just keep driving on the road, even though there's a styrofoam wall there. So let me go ahead and pull that up, and then we can kind of take a look at the video as it was edited for YouTube, and then we can kind of go from there. So here's this styrofoam wall, and here's this helpless mannequin child that is in a very awkward position, leaning back. He's got a crazy strength in his abdomen. But let's go ahead and play this.
Not to mention it was pre-cut styrofoam ball to make it extra.
Well, we're going to get into that because, once again, there's a lot going on in this video. And there's a lot that has been revealed that I think Mark wasn't even wanting to reveal. But obviously, he has now.
He knows it's going to go through at this moment. That's why he's scared.
Oh,
yeah. The big claim.
So,
which, I mean, to give him the benefit of the doubt, the idea sounds like kind of crazy, but it seems like a silly idea that he could get behind. And then honestly, if he was genuine in all of the science behind it, then we could give him a pass. He'd be like, oh, okay, FSD needs some work, and it would be, you know, no problem. But the fact that, like, he didn't do it to, like, a full honest test that would actually put it to the test is where it's an issue. And a lot of people, just from that clip alone, you notice that there was separate cuts. So we see, like, from the point of view as he's driving, there's a lot of questions where you could see right before the point of impact, they're like, wait a minute, there's no actual autopilot on. But we do know that from a couple shots before, he did engage autopilot, like a few, I mean, I don't even know how many seconds, maybe like eight seconds before you hit the wall. But
yeah, we're going to get into all of that. We're going to, you know, I have all that queued up to kind mm-hmm. of break some of that down. But the first thing, like you said, there's a lot of questions. So yeah. Our good friend Sawyer on X posed questions, these questions that everybody has, right? So here they are. He goes, mm-hmm. I have some questions. Number one, your video, can you fool a self-driving car uses Luminar's latest tech, but not Tesla's latest FSD software? Why? Right. So that goes back into, why are you using autopilot? Why aren't you using FSD? Okay, so there's question number one. Question number two, autopilot was turned on at 42 miles per hour in your YouTube video, but you turned it on at 39-40 miles per hour in your clip above. Okay, so this is also Mark Rober posted on X raw footage of what he's claiming is the clip mm-hmm. to try to debunk all of everybody's speculations. So what Sawyer's saying here is, in the YouTube video, it's showing one speed when you engage, but on this raw video clip that you're providing now, it's a different miles per hour. Right. Why so? Well, we now know the answer to that, and we'll get into that in a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Question number three. In the clip above, autopilot was activated much closer to the wall than in the YouTube video clip. Once again, kind of going hand in hand with question number two, seems a little sketchy, right? You're talking about some inconsistencies in the YouTube video and the raw clip that he's providing as evidence. So there's an issue there. Number four, in your video above, you turned on autopilot 3.8 seconds before hitting the wall, but it appears you gave Luminar a much longer head start with their tech mm-hmm. activated. Why? And then number five, why was putting a child dummy doll behind the wall a useful thing to do? What car would possibly see or react to a kid through a wall after crashing into that wall? Once mm-hmm. again, we kind of touched on that as far as, you know, I think that was all part of a way to kind of get people's emotions behind the test.
100%, yeah.
So all valid questions and questions that somewhat have been answered, or at least some of them have been answered. So what I want to do is let's go ahead and look at the raw footage that he now provided. Well, no, actually, mm-hmm. what I want to do is there's also some more detectives that kind of pointed some things out. So let's go ahead and take a look at those things real quick. So Warren Redlick on X states or shows some pictures. So he goes, Mark Rober, he gets a little aggressive, but he says it's a complete fraud. Images 1 and 2 show autopilot was not engaged until shortly before approaching the wall. Image 3 shows autopilot was not engaged as it got to the wall and was going 42 miles per hour over the 42 miles per hour AP was supposedly set at image 2. So just showing that inconsistencies. So right here, you can see autopilot is not engaged. Right here, you can see that the rainbow road is now on the screen, indicating that it is activated.
It also looks like a longer run up too, because that image, I believe, is from the take that we now learned about after the fact, but it wasn't actually the take with the styrofoam.
Exactly.
If you look close enough, you can kind of see the differences between that wall.
And then you could see here, you could see the walls back here, and he's going 42 miles per hour. He's that close to the wall. Remember, in this image, look how the distance is, right? There's a big distance.
I think that might just be the grass in the background. It looks like just the grass. Yeah.
Okay.
But I'm not sure how close he is to the wall, but it's close enough where the autopilot either disengaged itself or wasn't even engaged yet, because you can tell it wasn't on.
Okay, here, let me pull up the here we have clip here. I'm just going to pull up his YouTube video to show what everybody pointed out. So let's go back. Okay, so we're right here. Let's go back to...
And this is really what's, like, even for myself, when we're starting to see these details kind of merge, I'm like, wait a minute, there's something up here.
Like, oh, look, it's got my algorithm.
I didn't know it can crab walk.
Okay, so I don't think we need the audio here.
Yeah.
But
discrepancies is what started to get me curious. I'm like, wait a minute, okay, there is something extra here. Like, the edits are not making sense.
Exactly. So right here, you can see he's going 40 miles per hour. Autopilot is not engaged. Okay.
Notice. Okay.
He's a lot further back.
He's a lot further back than the previous shot.
Exactly. Once again, 39 miles per hour, still not engaged. Autopilot.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now it's engaged, right? You can see it here.
Engaged at 39.
Okay. Now, so it's engaged. It's engaged. And then he goes through the wall right there.
42.
You can see,
yeah,
as he's hitting the wall, there's no autopilot engaged.
And he was going 42 miles an hour, which is faster than what?
Exactly. Why would it be faster if he engaged it at 40 miles per hour? Why is it now faster, 2 miles per hour faster, but yet you're showing it's not engaged anymore? So that's where a lot of issues are, right? They're sitting there going, people are sitting here questioning Mark Rober and his, you know, how genuine he's being in this video. And if his whole intent, his channel is great. He provides a lot of great information. You know, he's doing a lot of work with kids. There's a lot of good. I'm not going to sit here and question Mark as a person.
Mm-hmm.
But
I really like this stuff.
Exactly. But I mean, it is what it is, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
he's still in trouble, but I still like him.
Yeah. There's clearly autopilot was not engaged. Now, there's a, once again, we go back to the question of why wasn't FSD used? Why was it autopilot? Obviously, Mark has all the resources, knows a lot of people. He can get the latest and greatest Tesla vehicle because he can make the claim, well, my Tesla doesn't have FSD. He can get a Tesla from somebody to test, you know, FSD. He could get a Cybertruck.
Or, like, why didn't he just contact Tesla and have a Tesla representative there for the Tesla tests? But he did have a representative from the Luminar tests. So it's like there's a lopsided bias there.
There's issues with that as well. Why was there representation for Luminar but not representation for Tesla? Now, I will say this, Tesla isn't always the best at doing stuff like that. I don't know if he reached out to Tesla. I doubt it. He hasn't claimed that he did, but I think even if he did, I don't think Tesla would even send anybody. I'm just being honest. I don't think they would have. So, I mean, Mark, why not use that as your excuse? But, you know, it's just, it's one of those things that it goes back into what I was saying last week with Jerry Rigg and what I was saying earlier. You have a responsibility. You're naming your video, can you fool, you know, a self-driving vehicle when the vehicle you're using isn't even a self-driving vehicle? Like, you're not using any of the self-driving tech to, or portion of it, but not the full system. Doesn't make a lot of sense.
Might as well rename the video, can you fool a Tesla Model 3 with a 8-year-old tech?
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Here goes back to what you were saying about Corbin Williams on X goes, Mark Rober would bring a rep from Luminar, but not a rep from Tesla. What happened to all these previously great, respected YouTubers? They've all become sellouts before our eyes. Hey, yeah. I think I'm a great, respected YouTuber. What are you talking about, Corbin Williams?
And we'll completely glaze over the image on the left side. Notice the phone that they're using to record with. They superimposed a Google logo over it and forgot to turn the logo. It's clearly an iPhone that they're like trying to make it look like a Google Pixel.
I don't know if that's an iPhone. The camera looks a little.
It's people called it out that like in this shot, it looks like a Google Pixel, but if you look at the reflection from the actual screen of the Tesla, you can see it's clearly an iPhone. So people, when you find one discrepancy, then people are just like,
oh my gosh, it's
with that crazy, the eye of Sauron looking at every single frame.
Like, it's yeah. On once again, the detectives,
yeah,
of the internet are, yeah.
I mean,
are crazy.
That's, I'm sure he has a deal with Google to use their Pixel phones, and that's probably what that's going on. But that's not the case that we're going to dive into.
No. So now I want to show the raw footage that he sent. Mm-hmm. Okay, because once again, discrepancies. So let's go ahead and share that. Here it is. So this is
she
in
says,
response. This is from Mark Rober's X account. And he goes, here's the raw footage of my Tesla going through the wall. I'm not sure why it disengages 17 frames before hitting the wall, but my feet weren't touching the brake or gas. Once again, we can't see that. So, okay.
Engages at 42. And notice it took a while to engage it. So he engaged it pretty, pretty late.
Yeah, that was another thing. He was having trouble engaging autopilot. Why? Was autopilot telling him no? There's a wall there, or there's something, mm-hmm. you know, we're sensing something we don't want to
engage. Oh, yeah, the errors did pop up. Like, that was something other people were calling out, too. Like, when you tried to engage it.
Here we go!
Yeah, it was right giving there. Him an error right there.
It's
yeah.
telling him something. We can't see what it says, but it's telling him something. And then now, if you notice, in the YouTube video, he engaged autopilot at 40 miles per hour, which we showed just a few seconds ago. In this raw footage, it's 42 miles per hour. So right. once again, discrepancies. Edited YouTube video, 40 miles per hour. In this raw footage, that's supposed to be his proof that he wasn't doing anything funny, 42 miles per hour. Discrepancy. Also, you'll see right there, there's no more autopilot engaged.
Mm-hmm.
And he's you know, he's admitting that yes, it disengaged. Why did it disengage?
Well, here's the other question. So back up just a little bit again, because what's interesting is that unless he has his roll turned on, like when the autopilot disengaged, shouldn't it start to slow to a stop if his foot was not on the gas? Like it disengages and it doesn't slow down instantly. It continues that 42 until he hits the wall. My guess is he might have slightly still had his foot on the pedal, and that could have disengaged autopilot, but as soon as he hit the wall, then he let go.
Yeah. And once again, it goes back to, I mean, okay, here's another thing. You could see his foot clearly down there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're going to nitpick, but I mean, that's what we're doing here, right? When I'm in autopilot, full self-driving, my feet aren't on the pedals.
Right. Just
why is his foot on the pedal or right above the pedal, hovering over the pedal, on the pedal, barely touching the pedal, pressing the pedal? I don't know.
Right.
But that's proof that his feet are over the pedal. Whether it's touching or not, I'm not sure. So it's just... there's mm-hmm. just there's a lot, right? And then let's get into the cutout.
Which I'm sure they only had like enough styrofoam to do the one take. You know what I mean?
Well, I don't know. Even if it was a guy like, with 65 million subscribers, I'm sure he's
fair.
He could have had 10 styrofoam walls there. But I know what you're saying.
Like I don't even if for me, like if I was doing this test, in halfway through, I noticed that, okay, it's not engaging the way that you planned it to. Like at that point, I would have just completely slowed to a stop, back it up, redo it, and let's get it like a good take. So it's completely honest in the one take.
Yeah, well,
but that's, I mean, people could argue too that, you know, it was engaged for 3.8 seconds. So that should have been enough for the computer to yada yada.
Okay, so let's show this. So here's him going through this wall again. So as you can see, obviously, they wanted to really play off of the Wild Coyote cartoon where he has the cutout with the marks and real dramatic mm-hmm. and looks real cool. But that all comes into play when it comes to Mark sharing what exactly went down that day or days, as we have learned, as far as this video. So Mark went on to Philip DeFranco show on his channel and did an interview. And in that interview, he gave some answers to some of the questions that people are having. So let's go ahead and kind of get a transcript of that. So his answer on why he used autopilot and not Tesla's FSD, here's his answer, quote unquote, my understanding with FSD is that you have to enter an address for it to work, which is false.
Yep.
The sensor is not different, whether it's FSD or autopilot. Knowing if that's a wall or not, that doesn't change. I'd be happy to rerun the experiment in FSD, but I'm pretty confident it wouldn't be a different result. So that's a transcript, okay? But this is something that I noticed when I watched the interview with Philip DeFranco. Mark was very careful with his words. He was kind of stumbling a little bit with his words. If you watch his YouTube, he's very clear and doesn't seem to have any issues with being on camera or nervous or any of that. He seemed a little nervous or careful in this interview, which kind of, to me, tells me that either A, he's very concerned about how he says something, or B, he has legal telling him to make sure you say the right things because you're already in hot water.
His lawyers probably had cue cards like standing off screen.
So when this question was posed to him, why did you use autopilot, not FSD? He says, I didn't know there's a difference. That's what he says. He didn't know that there was a difference between the two. And then he goes on to say that his understanding was FSD needed an address for it to work. So you thought they were the same, but then you had a reason why you didn't use one as opposed to the other. Doesn't line up. Okay?
Well, that argument doesn't even make any sense because they weren't on a closed road.
No.
Like they weren't just on a strip of road that wasn't closed. It still had a line painted in the middle, which they could have painted themselves, but they could have easily made this experiment work even with that limitation FSD.
They could have put in the local Walmart
if that was true.
Down the street that's in that direction. And
right.
And so you're 100% right. That's not a valid excuse in my personal opinion. But that's the answer he gave. Okay. Mm-hmm. Number two, his take on autopilot disengaging half a second before hitting the wall. I don't know why it would disengage. I was not pulling on the steering wheel. My guess is maybe the ultrasonic sensors just disengage if they sense that something big is there. I don't have a horse in this race. I love my Tesla. I'll probably get a new one when they come out. Well, once again, I don't know what new one is coming out, but you can go get a Tesla right now. I don't know what you're waiting for.
It's a very educated guess. You know what I mean? Like guessing that the ultrasonic sensors disengaged before that happened is very educated to also not know that FSD works in a certain way. Like that's where it doesn't make any sense. This guy's a NASA engineer. He owns a Tesla, so it's not like he's not had his Tesla update in the last 8 years. So he is aware of FSD. You know?
That's the perfect way to say it. He was a former NASA engineer. You're going to tell me that he doesn't know the difference between autopilot and full self-driving?
Yeah.
It doesn't add up. So,
number
three, mark on if there were multiple takes of hitting the wall, going back to the raw footage and the YouTube edited video. His answer was, there was. We did a take. It went right through. I think that was one that was at 40 miles per hour, which is what we saw in the edited. But instead of cutting through it, which would visually look cool, it just kind of tore through the side. 3 weeks later, we went back out when scheduled permitted. This time with a styrofoam wall, it went through the wall twice.
Mm-hmm.
So he's right. At least admitting there's multiple takes. There was a 3 week time frame between takes. And that they brought originally it was just almost like a sheet, right? Like a giant sheet that was covered up, that was painted. They wanted some wow factor. They didn't like the way it looked visually. So they got a styrofoam wall and then they did a cut through it because they knew it was going to go through, you know, and they wanted it to look cool. So, you know, it just goes back to, you know, once again, if you're doing a bunch of takes and you want genuine reaction and you want all that type of stuff, you're not going to have it if you're doing a bunch of different takes. If it's a genuine test, I don't think you do a bunch of takes. Yeah. Because you want one take, you want it to do whatever it's going to do, and then that's the result. Right. As opposed to let's do multiple and then make it look cooler.
Right.
You know, it just...
Look at Mythbusters. That's exactly what they did. And even then, like, anytime that they had to redo it, it was usually because they had already proven that it doesn't work, and you see the raw results, and then they go back and they like, all right, let's amp it up to 100 and make sure that, all right, at what point does it do the thing? And then that's what they
show. Exactly.
But you know that it's for show and it's not for science, which this feels like it's like advertisement that has a little bit of mix of science, and it feels like science-y, but it's not really good science at all.
Exactly. Number four, a mark on Luminar. You know, once again, people saying you got paid by them or whatever the case is. They gave us, this is his quote, they gave us no money. They had no say in the edit. They did not approach us. I reached out to them and said, hey, will you let us borrow some cars? We didn't know what would happen. We told them if LiDAR fails, it goes in the video. If Tesla passes, it would have gone in the video. I don't have a horse in this race. I do not own any Luminar stock. I have no options, no puts on Tesla. There's no financial anything in here. Okay.
It's very, very specific what he just said there. Like if this was him just talking, I don't think he would have said, I have no options. I have no puts on Tesla. He's very, very specific about like what the lawyers, I think, told him to reiterate.
To be fair, I will say this. To be fair, in the interview, Philip did ask him specifically, do you have any options? Do you have any puts on Tesla? Okay. So he did answer it using the same language. But, and it, once again, it's normal in all of the entertainment business that when you do an interview, typically there's a pre-interview that mm-hmm. you do prior to going to actually filming or going live. And, Philip did say that in their interview. He did mention that in the conversation prior to this conversation, yada, 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 right? And so there was a conversation prior to them, you know, doing the official interview. And what was said behind closed doors, I don't know. And I'm not trying to sit there and say there's anything fishy there, but it's something that you should know, that they had mm-hmm. a conversation prior to that conversation. So, you know, whether, and typically in those conversations, there's, the person being interviewed will say, I'm not answering this question. I will answer that question. And the person interviewing will ask, can I ask this question? Can I ask that question? So just mm-hmm. throwing that out there, it was something that I caught. I caught that in the interview that Philip did say that, whether he was supposed to or not. I don't know.
I mean, we could get into, you know, he's saying that, all right, Luminar didn't give any money, but that doesn't also completely be honest about his association with the company.
So here we go. This was back on January 1st of 2022. Mark Rober tweeted, we freaking did it. Thanks to the 600,000 plus individual donors from 191 countries and some help from my buddy Austin Russell for the final push. We hit our goal on removing 30 million of trash from the ocean. This is a huge W for the turtles and everyone who helped in any way. Fantastic. This is great news, right? Back in 2022. He did. And once again, I'm never questioning Mark. He seems like he's a good guy and he does good things. But so he mentions all the help from 600,000 plus people in 191 countries. Specifically gives a big shout out to Austin Russell. Okay. Who's Austin Russell? Well, let's do a quick little Google search, which Robin did for us. And Austin Russell happens to be the CEO of Luminar Technologies.
No. This is total coincidence. This is just a good guy doing his thing, like given 30 million.
So who was the company that was featured very positively in this video? Luminar Technologies, who Austin Russell happens to be the CEO of. So yeah. What does that tell us? That tells us that they have a history, they have a relationship, and take that as you want, right?
Mm-hmm.
They don't need to get, he doesn't need to directly get paid from anybody to benefit from Luminar looking good in this video. But If his buddy does well because of it, and
I mean,
here's another thing. In the Philip DeFranco interview, Philip asks him if he owns any Luminar stock, mm-hmm. or if he has anybody that he knows or associated with owns Luminar stock. And he answered it as no. But if your buddy is Austin Russell, isn't that somebody you know that has Luminar stock?
Right.
And what has Luminar stock done in the days after this video? Can you tell us, Chase?
Oh, yeah. Like, it's as soon as it happened, it jumped up, you know, 20%. And it's gone up another up to, you know, 48% on this last week. So it definitely had a, and even that's all of the finance articles about it, you know, talked about just like that, you know, shares soar after a viral test drive featuring Luminar. It definitely did what I think they wanted it to, because now just next week or the week after, very coming up soon, is going to be their shareholders call. So they've got earnings coming up. So it's very, very timely to happen right now, when at a time where the stock has been, in the last 5 years, it's down 95%. That's not even from the peak. That's down 95% from when it IPO'd. So very interesting timing. And one more tidbit specifically about Austin is, I didn't even realize this until I found it from Google just now. When his company went IPO, he was 25 at the time and basically became a billionaire from the IPO in 2020. The stock came out at 150 and shot up to like 500 a share, and then has been coming down from that ever since. And now is sitting, albeit up 40%. It's now at like $7.20. He's now 5 years later from becoming a billionaire, and definitely not a billionaire anymore. Friends with Mark Rober. I think if anything, if I had to read between the tea leaves, is that he gave Mark a solid back in 2022 when he had still enough money. Like, the shares were at 260 at the time. And then now he was talking to him after the fact, like, hey, you know, what can we do?
I need help.
And he probably was like, yeah, I could feature you in a video. And he probably, if I had to like kind of put on my tinfoil hat, Mark probably really was genuine about the reasonings behind this, because it's like, the whole other side of the video, which is really cool, by the way, it's worth watching, not just for the Tesla bullshit, but the first half of the video, he was talking about a mobile LiDAR like apparatus that he snuck into Disney and then was doing like LiDAR scans of all these cool Disney rides. So I think that's what is something that he was very passionate about. And he's like, hey, I've always wanted to do this video. Why don't we'll loop this in and we'll talk about the LiDAR technology as a part of it. And then that's probably where, you know, the obvious question of like, well, let's put it up against the Tesla, because LiDAR versus vision is a big hot button topic.
I would almost say that everybody does whatever they want to do, and that's fine. Mark has been very successful in what he's been doing. And so more power to him, respect to him. He's built a great following. Mm. He does a lot of great videos. So, you know, I respect him when it comes to what he's built. But when all this comes out, it's almost like, it feels me, I'd much rather just sit there and say, hey guys, this is the deal. Okay. My buddy came to me, company's struggling. He's struggling. He wanted my platform to see how great his technology is. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to do a cool, fun video where I showed the Disney aspect of it, where he goes to Disneyland and he uses the LiDAR to map out Space Mountain. So if anybody's been to Disneyland and Space Mountain, it's a roller coaster, but it's indoors and it's pitch black. So you can't see the roller coaster. So you don't know if you're going to turn left or turn right, go up or go down. You don't know what's next. So he says it's always been a childhood dream of his to kind of see what it really is. And so he used LiDAR to map it all out and replicate it with 3D printers and put it on a desk and just kind of show what Space Mountain looks like. So cool concept, cool idea. And he could just sit there and say, hey guys, this is what it is. My friend was struggling. I wanted to help him out. And so I wanted to give his company some light and some attention, positive attention. And so I'm making this video and we're putting it up against Tesla and we're putting it up against, you know, their technology. And we want to show which one is better and then just be genuine about it. And whatever, which one wins, it wins. And worst case scenario, they're even, they all succeed. But you could just sit there and say, hey, well, this is another version of technology that you can use, you know,
right.
And just be honest and say that's what it is. But once again, he has 65 million subscribers. The video, I think right now, is at 15 million views. He obviously knows how to go viral and I don't. So so he clearly knows what he's doing. He has, you know, they always say, right, there's no such thing as bad press. And so he has all of it right now. He has us sitting here talking about it for almost an hour now. And so he obviously did something right, but it just, in my personal opinion, I think for a lot of people, kind of just, it doesn't look good, you know, because he's having to explain so much because there was a lot of holes in his test.
I think he's anticipating a call from the SEC because I didn't realize, apparently it's even closer than I thought. Earnings call is tomorrow. So they came out with the video. They came out with the video on Sunday, the 16th. Mm-hmm. Markets back open Monday, and earnings call is on Thursday. That's very suspicious. Regardless, if like I said, say FSD was used in this, and it didn't work, and they're like, oh wow, I guess, you know, FSD is better than we thought, or whatever the case was. The fact that it's also featuring Luminar a week before earnings is very suspicious when their stock has been down 95% for last 5 years.
And he did state in the Philip DeFranco interview that this video has been in the works for what he claims to be a year and a half. Which, so he's trying to sit there and say that, you know, this was before all the political stuff with Tesla. This is before, you know, he's been planning this. And I do believe that he's been planning this.
It's good to be.
It's huge production. I understand that a lot of money goes into a lot of moving parts. Mm-hmm. But once again, if you have a year and a half to plan a video, you should know the difference between autopilot and FSD. Mm-hmm. You shouldn't play dumb on that. The timing of when you release it and the earnings calls, all that isn't just coincidence. There's a lot of planning that goes into these big videos. Mr. Beast, Mark Roper, you know, all these guys, these things are massive productions that a lot of people are involved in. There's a lot of, you know, research that goes into these things. And so I don't buy the I didn't know approach, but I also know enough to know that when you're in a legal quagmire, you will claim to not know things to get out of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 100%. So.
Yeah, especially because me, Kevin had a really good analysis of this and explained, because even in the description, there's, you know, basically they're selling both Luminar and they're selling Mark's products with LiDAR in the names. There is very, very damning evidence that if Tesla would want to take a case, they could easily do that. Even if we were, like, say, gave him another benefit of the doubt that, yes, this has been in the works for a year and a half, I found that a year and a half ago is when their stock hit a new all-time low that has not recovered ever from that. So they broke below that, you know, that $59 mark around a year and a half ago. And I think that's, you know, they haven't recovered from that. So if that's true, it would still kind of fall in line with this kind of theory.
Yeah. And bringing up Meet Kevin. So Meet Kevin on his X account, and I believe his YouTube account, he posted a video where he's talking about the legalities of all this, or the potential legalities of all this, stating that Tesla has a good case as far as being able to sue Mark under and via the Lanham Act for false advertising, misleading an audience. You know, going back to our conversation last week about Jerry Rig and us stating, you know, that, you know, is Elon petty enough and, you know, willing to take the time and resources to do something against Jerry Rig? I haven't heard anything, so maybe he has no plans.
He did, in this. He did, I think, not stop following him at one point, right? After,
well,
I thought at one point, I don't know. I wouldn't put it past Elon to be that petty, but we'll see.
Yeah. So, you know, I don't know. I don't know if there's going to be any legal fallout from this. I'm not sure. I really don't know. But it just, once again, for someone who, for Mark and his channel, for someone who it's really the data that he's after and really trying to look into the science of things. It just, there's some holes there. And it could have been an honest mistake of him just letting the production of it all get too much for him, where he had a lot of people in his team, you know, saying, no, we need to do this, we need to do that, and we need to make it look a certain way. So let's tinker with this.
Let's put a child mannequin behind the wall, you know, because that's how it happens.
Yeah. And maybe he just went, okay, whatever, whatever you guys say, you guys are the experts. But, you know, obviously he's the face. And so he's got to deal with the backlash. So, you know, what are you going to do? But it's, now there's already been speculation. And I think Philip in the interview with Mark stated such that there seems to be other YouTubers and people that want to do this test again, but test FSD. And even Mark said that he'd be open to that. So, maybe there's going to be a follow-up. I'm not sure. Hopefully we don't have to wait a year and a half to see that video.
I mean, I hope like Wes or somebody is like would just step up and be like, I'll join you on that ride. Or if not a Tesla employee, at least to like one of the bigger influencers, like, you know, call it Farzad. I'm sure he'll go out there.
That would be actually amazing. But that's also if Tesla feels strongly that their technology will succeed. Right. Because that would be great if they got Wes, who's the lead engineer for the Cybertruck. They get him to take a Cybertruck down to Mark and say, let's do this. You know what? That'd be the baller move if I was them. Wes is at Mark's door right now, knocking on the door saying, I got a Cybertruck. Let's go right now. You know,
and it's not just a foam ball. It's a real brick wall. And then they're like, oh, let's go. Let's see what happens.
And you're sitting in the passenger seat. OK. Yeah. And we're about to go through this brick wall because apparently it won't stop.
We saw the crash test dummies. I mean, well, you're going to be fine, even if you do hit the wall, but still.
Exactly. So
sign your waiver.
That would be cool. You know, bring a camera crew, and you show up to Mark's door, and you're like, hey, open the door. Oh, let's go. Let's go, and let's go now. You know, I would like to see if Mark would sit there and say, oh, let's go. That'd be some good content. Anybody, I don't have a Cybertruck anymore. Anybody with a Cybertruck want to join me? Let's go find Mark's house. Let's go take a camera, and let's go knock on his door. I think
if anything, to save his credibility, I think he needs to absolutely do this test again.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see if he does. He's probably got a backlog and he doesn't have time for it. So we'll see.
Lawyers might have to say something to say.
It's very interesting. But as we wrap this conversation up, I want to go back because I've mentioned him a few times. Let's go back to our good friend Jerry Rigg. He had a nice comment on X when it came to
well informed
video. Yeah, he puts RIP to FSD. So thank you for that analysis, Zach. That was very informative. Thank you so much. So
got him. I don't know. It's just that's kind of where like that's the danger in this is that he's pandering to the people that are already going out there and carving swastikas into Cybertrucks and spray painting Teslas. And it's just like it's feeding into the mob. And
it's
for what? Like it's clicks and stuff, but still, it's not worth it in the end.
Yep, 100%. You know, so we'll see. We'll continue to monitor this story and see where this all goes because it's very interesting. Very interesting. I'm very curious to see what Tesla's response will be and if they have a response and what comes out of all this. As we wrap up today's episode, there's a few things I wanted to share before. Number one. Something that we've talked about many times with when it comes to Starlink.
Oh, yeah. This is huge.
Yeah, is the fact, and that's why I wanted to mention it, because we could have just went the whole episode about Mark and then called it a night, but I wanted to share this. Yeah, this is really great. So SpaceX has introduced a new Starlink roam plan for $10 a month. So before, I think the cheapest plan was $50. Now, this is something that you can use, you know, like someone like myself that I would probably only use Starlink when I'm out camping in remote areas. And I necessarily don't want to be paying $50 a month when maybe I'm only using it for one weekend a month, but for $10 a month, I get 10 gigs and any overage over that 10 gigs will be $2 a gigabyte. So And I think 10 gigs is plenty, right? Because if you're out, for myself, if I'm out camping in the wilderness or out in a remote area, I'm probably not like watching YouTube or like Netflix or anything, something that's taking up a lot of data. It would probably be just to have the ability to make phone calls or send a text message or even some very light, you know, web browsing if I was going to do that, because I'm trying to enjoy the peace and quiet. So I'm not really trying to be on my device. But so I think this is great. I think this is great. But here's one thing that I want to point out to people, because when I saw this, I immediately went on to Starlink.com and I was trying to find the plan. You can't find it. So the way it works, from what my understanding is, you have to already own a Starlink, or you can go buy one, right? You can run to the store after we end our podcast. You can go and buy one and then set it up in the app. And then once you have it set up, then in the app, you will have the option to purchase this plan. You won't be able to do it before you own the hardware, is pretty much what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. So as you go into activate it, which is great, because that's, I've used this actually a couple of times now on the $50 a month plan for if like our internet goes out, which happens last month.
Okay.
Internet went out and it was out for a good day, if not day and a half. But still, like, just having no internet and then being able to grab the Starlink and toss it out in the backyard and be back up at top the speed is great. Especially for myself, who works from home as well. So if there's anything really important that I, you know, I don't want to run to the local Starbucks, because that's a madhouse. When like our whole neighborhood once lost power and everyone went to Starbucks, we had the one in town. It was just like Mad Max of everyone with their laptops, like
that's crazy,
trying to suck down as much Wi-Fi as they can get. But yeah, it's huge. And then not to mention, like, you know, we have, sometimes we have freezing weather out in Texas and it adjusts our power a little bit. So being able to have like backup power with backup internet is really crucial to have. And that just makes that one-off day even cheaper. Cause I think, I did look. Well,
this looks like it's only for, or it's a Roam plan.
Yeah, does that, it's the same one.
Okay. So it's the same thing. Yeah. It doesn't matter. You could have the home Starlink and you're fine.
Yeah,
okay.
You can have the classic Starlink. It'll still work. You can still set up the Roam plan with it. Like, let me see. I used that one day, it was 15 gigabytes. And then granted, that's like our whole house is using it. Everyone's streaming like we normally would. So 15 gigabytes, what? So 10 gigabytes plus two overage charges. So that's, say, $16, you know,
it's not bad
that day. It's much cheaper easier than 50. $50. And the $50 is what made me go buy a Starlink in the first place, because I knew that we talked about it, you know, last year on the podcast about like, well, I would love to have it as a backup system, yeah, but I didn't want to commit to paying like $140 a month. Cause it's just like, that's too much.
That's for, a lot. That's a lot, you know, for a an backup
insurance policy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
100%. So no, that's great.
And you can activate and deactivate it month to month if you need to. So I had it for the whole month. If I needed it, it just let it just deactivate. And then if I need it again, I'll just go on my phone. Hopefully there's cellular to be able to activate it. But yeah, go on my phone, then go from there. Yep. I think you have to actually go through the website to activate it. You can't activate it via the app anymore, which is a whole other thing. But
yeah, that's good info, because I don't have a Starlink. So I probably will get one now that there's a plan that's that cheap, you know, as like you said, as an insurance policy, or once again, when I go camping, because anybody that knows my channel, I got stranded when one of their inverters went out in my Cybertruck, and it was a struggle to try to find cell service. So if I had a Starlink, it would have been much smoother and easier process for me.
Especially the Mini. I'd love to pick up the Mini now.
Yeah, that's what I would do. And then lastly, I wanted to bring back a old little segment of ours, which was a wrap of the week. I think Chase, you sent this, if I'm not mistaken, but we have a Cybertruck school bus.
Our friends in Colorado. Steven, if you're watching, this is things from you.
So this is a really cool. I like how they put the school on the side. It's funny how they did that. And then the stop sign says chill.
School.
So it just, you know, once again, we've always admired the fact that people are having a lot of fun with their Cybertrucks and the way they wrap them and all the cool designs. And so this is just another funny wrap that somebody has done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they are, I guess, what we would call the winner of Rap of the Week for this week. So,
especially nowadays, like with all the vandalizing going on, like, I feel like I would almost want to put a clear coat PPF over top whatever wrap I had, just in case. Because then, say it does get spray painted, you can just pull the clear coat off.
Yeah, yeah, it's absolutely crazy.
That's.
I was actually talking to a buddy of mine who has a Cybertruck, and he told me something that I didn't realize. And he was telling me how he had his Cybertruck peed on. Somebody peed on his Cybertruck. And then he was showing me pictures of, at work, someone in the building he works at, somebody's leaving Post-its on his Cybertruck with, you know, profanity and, you know, different things. And he has pictures of them, and he showed me. It's just like, it's crazy, you know? It's just wild. We keep
it's
talking
brazen,
about it.
That's what it is. Yeah, because that's where I never really worried about anything happening to the Cybertruck, because I'm like, well, it's got cameras on it. Like, if anyone's going to do anything, they're the dumbest, you know, vagrant or criminal you can think of, because your face is going to be there, or, you know, the context or whatever you're doing. So, still.
100%. So... All right, well, that's all I have for today. I know we spent like 50 minutes on Mark Rober and his video, but I think that was a lot of interesting stuff.
To be continued.
Yep. So thank you to everybody who joined us. Hugo, Jay, Mark, Chris, Doug, everybody. And we appreciate you. And we'll see you guys in the next podcast next week.